I'm back for another week of the podcast, and we're finally done with the October Spookathon. And so now we'll be more of the content that you've grown used to. This week, I'm interviewing a friend from high school, Lisa Strasser-Lamour. And during this interview, we have a very interesting conversation about what I like to call kind of what's emerging out in the world right now. I think it's ever so super groovy that people can talk about being empathic or having intuition or having synchronicities happen in their lives without feeling like they're going to be judged by other people. I certainly, when I was growing up, didn't even have the language to talk about kind of how I experienced the world or understood the world. And I really love living during a time where there's more freedom and more acceptance around that. And Lisa and I talk a little bit about that. These feelings, these capacities we all have, they don't develop at the same times for each of us. You know, some people are early bloomers, some people are late bloomers, and some people it takes a whole lifetime before they understand kind of the way they perceive the world is a huge gift. And so I'd like you to keep that in mind for this week's episode with Lisa, because I think it's a really beautiful and powerful testimony to the capability that we all have, or the capabilities that we all might have if we choose to develop them. So now, another week and another episode of Bite-Sized Blessings.
And I was actually talking to my aunt about this the other day, because I was like, you know, was anybody on, this is my dad's side of the family, was anybody like intuitive? And she's like, well, your grandma wasn't. I'm like, really? I never would have thought that, you know, like this is a German Austrian woman, you know? And yeah, she told me a story about her, and I was like, okay, well, at least I know it's coming from somewhere, you know? So other stuff like that has happened to me. And I said to my aunt, I'm like, is this normal? Like, I don't know if this is normal. Do other people, like, she's like, well, I don't think that's like something everybody experiences. I'm like, okay, well.
To introduce yourself to a group of people or go to a party or a conference and you kind of had to just say, hey, this is who I am. How do you self-describe?
Well, you know, I first think about the titles I hold when I think about that question. You know, I'm was first a daughter and a sister, and I'm a wife and a mom and a teacher. So I have all those roles, you know, all those hats, titles, whatever. And then I kind of like, okay, let's take it a little bit deeper and think about this. And it's the cliche, you know, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience, but it sounds so cliche, but I really honestly believe that. And I was really on my spiritual path a lot before I had kids. And then that kind of just took over my life, you know? So I've kind of gotten back to that before my dad passed away. And then that's even kind of pushed me even more, like, because I want to be able to connect with him. So I honestly believe that, you know, we are spirit here to learn lessons. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm always wanting to learn new things, check things out, like things that, you know, obviously are my interests. And I've always been interested in like the metaphysical, the occult, all that kind of stuff, you know? I was actually watching Steel Magnolias the other day, one of my favorite movies, and it happened to be on, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just watch, you know, for a little bit. And I was thinking about how Shirley MacLaine was always, like, ostracized for being, like, crazy. You know, my parents were like, oh, she's crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure I probably said the same thing because I was just saying whatever they said, you know? But she's the one who's probably had it right all along, you know? I identify like as an introvert. Like I need my alone time, you know, like, but I'm also very opinionated and I speak up and I want to do what's right. And like, you know, social justice and helping out those who can't help themselves. And so I said, like, I'm an outspoken introvert. That's what I came up with. Church when I was younger. My dad was Catholic. I don't think they went to church a lot, like when he was a kid or anything. Like he was born in what was Yugoslavia. Like they were farmers. And then they escaped the Russians coming and went to Austria. And then they came here. But so my mom, I guess she had to convert because she was raised like Southern Baptist. Like my grandma used to do like work in, and my mom grew up in St. Louis. So my grandma used to work and do like Sunday schools for the Sunday Baptist church or Bible camp or something like that. Anyways, so I went to Holy Cross. I am a confirmed Catholic. However, I never was interested in it. I was just bored. I couldn't tell you much about religion and about Catholicism. I could maybe tell you a couple of commandments. What interested me more was just like the architecture of the church and the smell of the incense and, you know, like my five senses. I wasn't really taking in any of that information. I don't really believe in organized religion. To me, it's all about power and money. And probably not everybody who's an organized religion, I'm sure, is not all about power and money, but to me, it's about control. I've always been more spiritual. When I was about 30, I think I was living in Lake Villa, Illinois, and there was like a local cable show on the TV, and it was these two sisters. And they were doing like psychic readings. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And they had a shop in Antioch. So I went there and I got a reading. And my boyfriend or fiance at the time went and got one too. And we were having issues in our relationship. But we didn't, it was just like, we just kind of, you know, grew apart kind of thing. And we both got the death card. Isn't that crazy? So it was kind of like confirmation for us. Like we knew, like we just needed to break it off. So yeah, that would just like open me up. So yeah, the Catholicism really didn't stick with me very well. But I also had a lot of challenges in life that I didn't expect to have. Like I always wanted to be a wife and a mother, and that's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it took a really long time to get there, you know? So I'm very grateful for it, you know? And it's like, that's part of my spiritual path now though, too, is like, I got what I wanted. I became a teacher. I got married. I had my babies. And I love, you know, I love being a mom. I love being a teacher, but I feel like there's something else that my spirit is supposed to do. And I just don't know what it is. And I've been working this summer on just kind of like trying to heal myself and connect with my spirit and, you know, try to figure out what I'm supposed to do next. Because I want to get into like these weird experiences that have happened to me. I went to Sedona for a spiritual retreat in 2008. And I forget what the therapy was called, but I went there for this spiritual journey. This woman who I found on the internet, like set up all these different things. She set up that. She set up a massage and she had her own you know, things that she did with me. And I loved it, you know. And I came home from that. And literally, let's see, that was like in April. And July 3rd, I had this dream. And I woke up. And in the dream, I was pregnant. And I was pregnant with the child of a boyfriend I had from the late 90s. And when I woke up in the morning, I felt in love with him like I had been when he broke my heart in 1998 or whatever it was. And I thought, oh my God, I have to look him up. So I looked up where he was living just through like looking his name on the white pages. And I thought, okay, if he's single, he's going to be like on match.com or something. So I looked on match.com, didn't find him there. I found him on Yahoo Personals because I didn't want to call him if I didn't know he was single, you know? So I found him and I knew if I found him and I called him, we were going to get married and have kids. So this is my husband. Yeah, I was his one that got away, but he's the one who broke my heart. He just wasn't ready. So we've been married almost 15 years and we have two kids and a dog. And yeah, that was pretty amazing. That whole dream. And I feel like it was divine guidance. It wasn't just a dream. You know what I mean? And I've had other things happen like that. And I'm like, okay. And I was actually talking to my aunt about this the other day because I was like, you know, was anybody on, this is my dad's side of the family, was anybody like intuitive? And she's like, well, your grandma wasn't. I'm like, really? I never would have thought that, you know, like this was a German Austrian woman, you know. And yeah, she told me a story about her and I was like, okay, well, at least I know it's coming from somewhere, you know. So other stuff like that has happened to me. And I said to my aunt, I'm like, is this normal? Like, I don't know if this is normal. Do other people like, she's like, well, I don't think that's like something everybody experiences. I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's my intuition, my something, you know.
Well, your gift, right? Because yes. I mean, there's, as with every gift, there are times when it's a blessing and then there are times when it's a curse and it's a burden to carry. But I'm sure your grandmother, it wasn't accepted back then. So she couldn't say anything. She couldn't be open about it. You know, the people who had those gifts back then, they had to be really careful, right? Yeah. Because yeah. It was a very religious time. And if anything smacked of, if you were different in any way, you could right. be ostracized. You could be driven from
ground burned.
Yeah. Yes. All that stuff. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that she kept it secret, but I bet it was a huge relief to discover, because a lot of these gifts that people get are like legacies, right? They
right.
come through the DNA and they're part of your legacy, part of that little gift bundle that you're given by the universe. It's kind of like your superpower. And so how do you use your superpower in this world? And I suspect that's probably what's calling you, right? You feel like there's something else out there that's waiting for you. And so that superpower is like, hey, I'm waiting for you to use me because there's a lot that you can do. However, like you have to heal and clear out this crap that you're carrying first.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
So I would love to hear all your stories. Tell me stories.
Okay. So excited. Another story, this was in 2001. This was when I was still living in Lake Villa, where I had my first reading with the psychic. I had this dream of like an airplane exploding in the sky. And it was very vivid. And it actually, I was like, what the hell? I woke up in the morning. I went to work. I went to my school. I was like, is there a news report about two planes crashing in the sky or anything? Because it was so vivid. And they're like, no. And then 9/11 happened. And probably like a week or two after it happened and seeing all the footage over and over, and I just kind of was like, oh my God, that's like the explosion I saw in the sky. And I just think like I had like this, you know, well, we're all connected, like a universal knowing, you know, like, I don't know. And my family all thinks I'm crazy, basically. So it's like, I'm not going to get a whole lot of support there. My sister's a little open, but not, you know. So that was like, wow. I still like, don't even know what to say about it, you know. It's just, but that's like the visual. But yeah. I just didn't see the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think, right, this goes back to your grandmother having to hide her talents. Even now, your family doesn't believe you, right? So yeah. You can't talk about it either, even though we're in this age where there's more acceptance and you still have to keep things.
But I'm still talking. I was kind of like hiding it. But then I'm like, you know what? No, this is me. This is real. I had a reading with a medium after my dad died. And I feel like she really like was connected with him. And I was talking to my daughter, who's 10, about it, because I want them to be open and I want them to understand like this is real. This is not woo-woo bullshit. And we were driving home from vacation and she said something to me like, what did the lady say grandpa was saying? Or something like that. Or she was talking to grandpa. I said, well, not quite talking, but she was able to like communicate with his spirit, you know? And of course my mom was in the car and she's like, oh, it's all this bunch of shit, bullshit anyway. I'm like, no, it's not. It is hard though. I was thinking about this today because I don't have anybody here who's got the same kind of, you know, mindset and interest and, you know, so I feel like I'm kind of on my own. But at the same time, I'm okay being on my own because I'm an introvert. But it's nice to have somebody to talk to about it. You know what I mean? So I need to find somebody.
Oh, there's probably lots of people. I'm sure there are actually lots of people because I think we're all right taught to not talk about it. Like,
right. You know, I think
what's shockingly enough, my father, who was in the corporate world for decades, he's more into my experiences than my mother, who doesn't believe any of it. And, you know, that's actually fascinating to me. And I partially feel like my mom's had her own struggles in her life. But, you know, what I'm talking about is it's hard for people to believe in because so many people have been so traumatized and so hurt and so damaged by whoever, the people they love, their families, their communities. It's hard to believe in something that is all encompassing and beautiful and would allow crap like that to happen. And I totally acknowledge that I'm in a huge privileged position now after going through so much to get to this place. Like I've done so much work, no doubt you have as well, because essentially we're living in a space of hope and belief and faith. And not a lot of people can exist in that all the time. Even me, sometimes I drop out of it and I'm like, everything sucks.
Yeah.
But I've had so much privilege in my life in so many different ways. And it makes me want to help other people and make their lives better. But I think it's also important, right, for your kids. Like it is so important for kids to believe in magic and possibility. And mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to cultivate in your children. And your mom is like trying to quash it. So it's just, you're going to have to be steadfast in like helping your daughter, helping your son to understand that there is magic in the world. There are miracles in the world.
Stuff that's happened, like I swear I see shadows of past pets, and my kids have said that, and I was like, okay, who am I to say whether or not they're seeing a shadow of Lacey, our old dog? You know what I mean?
So your kids have seen.
Yes. And then my son actually, and I'm sure I said to them at some point, like, oh, I saw Lacey's shadow, you know? And so then I was like, okay, are they just copying what I'm saying? But now they've said it multiple times in different, you know, ages and whatever. My son finally said to me, not that long ago, like this summer, and he's going to be 13 next week, that he doesn't like to come upstairs alone because he has seen like a shadow. And I'm like, okay, well, we got to get out the sage. We got to smudge upstairs. But I'm like, you know, I'm not going to deny him that experience, you know? And even in the summer, me trying to like, I've been working a lot on meditation. I have a million books to read and not enough time to do it. And so one night I was sitting downstairs getting ready to wind down for bed. And I'm sitting in the family room and I think I had the TV off. I was just like messing around with stuff, looking at, I don't know exactly what I was doing. But I heard this noise, I want to say. I don't think it said anything, but it was just like a noise it made. And it was not a good spirit. And I was like, okay, I've just imagined like hearing some bad spirit make a noise in my family room. I'm like, what the hell am I going on here? And I'm like, that was my imagination. I freaking heard it again. And I was like, okay. I said, you are not allowed in my house. Only spirits and beings of light are allowed in this space. I got out some sage. I lit it up just a little bit and walked around and said a prayer around my main floor of my house while everybody else is sleeping. I mean, that freaked me out. And so now I'm like, okay, I have to every morning pray for guidance and protection and shield off any negative energy, make sure they know they're not allowed in here.
It's funny because I'm house sitting at this ranch right now and they have, it's a pretty extensive place. They have, I don't know how many bedrooms and outhouses with bedrooms and all this stuff. And there's one little casita here that's known to be haunted, and it's not a malevolent ghost. It's the ghost of a very elderly indigenous woman. And, you know, multiple people who don't know each other just over the years have seen her. A couple have had conversations with her. It's just been, she's not out for, you know, to hurt anybody, but everyone knows she's in that casita. And so I was sleeping in the casita right next to the room. And I was like, you know, I've slept there so many times. And I was like, she knows that I know that she's there. You know, we know about each other. And I just was thinking to myself, I hope she doesn't bother me. Like, I hope she doesn't come through the wall and bother me. And I was sleeping, I think it was last week, one night, and I was facing away from the table that was beside the bed. And I hear this tap. You know, and it was just like tapping, tapping, tapping. And I woke up and I laid there for a second, just listening to it. And I was like, that's the ghost, because I know I'm going to roll over. I literally don't know anything. Like, a mouse wouldn't make that sound. It's very clear something's being tapped against the bedside table. She's screwing with me. And so, of course, I turn around. There's nothing there. I turn the light on. There's nothing there. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And I didn't get much sleep that night. I was like, all I want to do is sleep. So the next night, I just was like, could you please? I mean, I need to sleep. Okay. And so in the middle of the night, there was a cardboard box on one of the chairs. And I hear this finger going across the cardboard box. Back and forth. And I was like, I woke up. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, my God. She's totally, I know I'm going to turn on the light and nothing's going to be there. Like,
it wasn't freaking you out at all though.
Well, I know she's not, She's not malevolent. I mean, I know she's not evil. She's just either playing with me or being a turd or something. So I woke up and turned on the light and looked over and there's nothing there. And I thought, okay, lady, like, I was so glad to move into another part of the ranch so I could actually get some sleep. So whenever I go over there, I'm like, you know, you stay here, you don't come. And she stayed over there. But yeah, those things are real. Those things happen. Yeah. There, you know, even to people who aren't open to it, you just happen to be open to it. And like I said, it's like, it's almost like you're Superman and you have this secret power and you have to go through your life with this, like, as this secret, like, persona. And then eventually one day you'll be able to, like, rip off your clothes and your giant S on your chest.
I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Okay.
I got one more story for you. So after I got married, you know, I was 38 when we got married. And I was 39. I was 39. Yeah. And so we tried to have a baby right away and had some little issues. I had a little procedure and, you know, whatever. After the procedure, we used a fertility monitor just to help too, you know? So I knew I was good to go, but I was also sick. I was sick with bronchitis and it was like Thanksgiving time. And this is a little TMI, but, so we were at my in-law's house and I was laying in the bed after we got there because I had bronchitis and it just wasn't feeling great. But at the same time, I knew that we needed to, you know, boom, chicka, boom, boom, because I was ovulating. So basically, I was like in an alpha state, you know, when you're kind of like half asleep and half awake. I think that's the alpha state. And I was like having a conversation with my son's soul. And I was like, I'm ready for you to come. And I knew he was going to be a boy. And we knew we were going to name him Alex. And so I was like, I'm ready for you to come. And he was here 9 months later. And again, people think I'm like nutso when I say this story, but it's like, you know, I'm not.
You know, so many times on this podcast, we have these really huge, big stories, like when Pastor Debbie saw that image in the woods, that vision in the woods that allowed her to lead her group of friends out of the woods from being lost for multiple hours, or Pastor Carla and the story that that couple told her of being in that catastrophic car crash and the father seeing this massive giant figure basically save his son. I think it's so important and essential to understand that magical and miraculous occurrences can be a day-to-day thing and a daily thing, happening in the most beautiful ways, sometimes without us ever knowing it. And these stories of Lisa remind me of those kind of stories, those really powerful daily occurrences where we get a glimpse behind the veil or on the other side of the veil, and really can witness what is possible in this world. I'd like to thank Lisa for sharing her beautiful stories, especially about the dream where she kind of found out that she was supposed to contact her future husband, but also that alpha state that she talks about where she just knew her son's soul was really nearby and was kind of waiting for Lisa to say, hey, it's your time. I'm ready. I need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode. Koala Vert, Music L Files, and K. Jarton Abel. For complete attribution, please see the Bite Size Blessings website at bitesizeblessings.com. On the website, you'll find all sorts of groovy art, music,
playlists, and books that I hope lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Lisa. Be open to the possibility of knowing that there's more out there waiting for you. Lisa did a really incredible job of being open to whatever was going to come her way, to the messages she got, the dreams she was getting, and instead of shutting them down, she welcomed them. She actually opened her arms and welcomed them. And of course, I think as you've heard, that has made all the difference. I love that Robert Frost poem where he says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and being one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then he talks about choosing one path, and that has made all the difference. Well, I'd like you to choose the path of being open to possibility, of becoming more empathic, of developing a stronger intuition, of being open to dreams that just might give you a hint as to which direction your life should go. So that's what I wish for you all. Be like Lisa. Be open to the messages you're getting, because those messages absolutely might change your life.